Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Imagine a hydrogen-fueled ship gliding across the seas, its engines powered by zero-carbon fuel produced on the Indian coast. That vision is moving from imagination to reality right now. First, let us look at the landmark green hydrogen supply deal that was signed at the Andhra Pradesh Global Investors Summit in Amravati. AM Green, which you may recall was earlier known as Ampton Energy Transition, entered into an agreement with NTPC Green Energy Limited. Under this pact, the two parties will supply 1 million metric tons per annum of green hydrogen from a new facility at Kakinada in Andhra Pradesh. To put the scale into perspective, the project will involve an electrolyzer capacity of roughly 5 gigawatts, making it one of the largest green hydrogen projects ever announced in India. What makes this significant is that the Kakinada hub is being positioned as an export-oriented complex, with green ammonia as its primary product. The plan is to ship these green hydrogen derivatives to European and East Asian markets that are seeking to decarbonize both shipping and fertilizer production. Remember this number: 1 million metric tons per year of green hydrogen and 5 gigawatts of electrolyzer capacity. Now, a quick note on the players. AM Green is a private green energy company backed by Global Green Finance, while NTPC Green Energy Limited is a wholly owned subsidiary of NTPC that focuses on renewables and green hydrogen. Green hydrogen, as you know, is produced by electrolyzing water using renewable electricity and therefore emits zero carbon. This aligns with India's National Green Hydrogen Mission, launched on 4th January 2023. Which targets 5 million metric tons per annum of green hydrogen by 2030 with an outlay of 19,744 crore rupees. The Kakinada port, a deep water facility, will be a strategic gateway for both LNG and green energy exports. And green ammonia, the ammonia produced using this green hydrogen, is being earmarked as a major export commodity for the energy transition. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? For prelims, keep the NGHM target of 5 million tons by 2030, the electrolysis method, and the role of NTPC Green Energy in mind. For mains, especially General Studies 3, you can discuss green hydrogen policy, India's broader energy transition, and the export opportunities that arise from clean energy derivatives. Turning to the oceans, the Responsible Business for Inclusive Oceans Symposium opened in Chennai on 18th January 2026. Organized by the International Seabed Authority in partnership with India's Ministry of Earth Sciences, the symposium focused on governance frameworks for deep-sea mining, equitable benefit sharing, and the inclusion of small island developing states in ocean economy decisions. Why is this important? India holds exploration licenses for polymetallic nodules and crusts in the central Indian Ocean basin, as well as for hydrothermal vent fields in the Indian Ocean, all awarded by the International Seabed Authority. The ISA, established under the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea in 1982, governs all mineral-related activities in the area, that is, the seabed beyond national jurisdiction. India's exploration contracts are held by the National Institute of Ocean Technology, which works under the Ministry of Earth Sciences. Deep-sea mining remains controversial because of the potential ecological damage to fragile hydrothermal vent ecosystems. Yet the Blue Economy Strategy aims for a 1 trillion rupee contribution by 2030, making responsible governance essential. Remember this: the ISA is headquartered in Kingston, Jamaica, and India's exploration areas include the Central Indian Ocean Basin for polymetallic nodules, rich in manganese, nickel, copper, and cobalt, and the Carlsberg Ridge for polymetallic sulfides. For UPSC relevance, note that the ISA and UNCLOS are favorite prelims facts, along with the acronym SIOP for Central Indian Ocean Basin and the role of NIOT. For mains, you can explore international ocean governance, India's deep-sea mining interests, the blue economy, and equitable resource sharing. Now let us shift to digital cooperation. The 6th ASEAN India Digital Ministers meeting was held on January 15-16, 2026, in Hanoi, Vietnam. The meeting adopted the ASEAN India Digital Work Plan 2026, a joint framework covering digital infrastructure, cybersecurity, interoperable digital payments, AI governance, and digital skills. India's Union Minister for Electronics and Information Technology, representing the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology, led the Indian side. What are the key deliverables? First, the plan aims to interconnect India's Unified Payments Interface, or UPI, with the payment systems of all 10 ASEAN member states. Second, it proposes joint cybersecurity incident response protocols. Third, it seeks to share digital public infrastructure, India's Aadhaar, DigiLocker, and the Open Network for Digital Commerce, known as ONDC, serving as models for ASEAN partners. Fourth, there is an alignment of AI governance, referencing the Niti Aayog AI governance principles. Remember these facts: the ASEAN members are Brunei, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. The ASEAN India Free Trade Agreement on Goods, signed in 2010, provides the baseline, but the digital economy now demands an updated framework. A proposed ASEAN India Digital Fund includes a seed contribution of $1 million from India. UPI's international expansion is already live in Singapore through PayNow, and also in the United Arab Emirates, France, Mauritius, Nepal, Bhutan, and Sri Lanka. The ONDC is India's open protocol for e-commerce, and the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology oversees digital public infrastructure and cybersecurity policy. For UPSC, remember the ASEAN members and the existing UPI links for prelims, and for mains you can discuss India-ASEAN digital cooperation, digital diplomacy, UPI as a soft power tool, and the sharing of digital public infrastructure. Now, let us move to the government e-marketplace, popularly known as GeM, and its women-focused initiative. The GeM portal reported that its Womania program has crossed 10 lakh registered women sellers as of today, with cumulative sales from women-owned businesses exceeding 35,000 crore rupees since its launch in 2020. Launched to empower women entrepreneurs, self-help groups, and women micro, small and medium enterprises, GeM Womania enables these sellers to directly supply central ministries, state governments, and public sector undertakings through the portal, cutting out intermediaries. GeM itself was launched in 2016 and is mandatory for central government procurement above 25,000 rupees. The Womania initiative, introduced in 2020, offers zero registration fees for women sellers and dedicated buyer support. Self-help groups, which comprise about 12 crore women members across the country, are a primary rural beneficiary. The nodal ministry for this program is the Ministry of Commerce and Industry. Overall, GeM's gross merchandise value has crossed 4 lakh crore rupees cumulatively by early 2026, and a dedicated artisan support scheme, Dasta, links weavers and craftspersons to the platform. For your exams, note that GeM was launched in 2016, the mandatory procurement threshold is 25,000 rupees, and the Womania program began in 2020 with zero registration fee. Remember the figure of 10 lakh women sellers and 35,000 crore rupees in sales. For mains, you can discuss women's economic empowerment, public procurement reforms, and the interface between self-help groups and the government. Next, we examine the Niti Aayog MSME Competitiveness Report released on the same day. Titled Accelerating MSME Competitiveness for Atmanirbhar Bharat, the report highlights challenges and proposes a suite of policy interventions for the micro, small and medium enterprise sector. Key recommendations include incentivizing formalization through GST and Udyam registration, providing technology upgrade subsidies via the credit-linked capital subsidy for technology upgradation scheme, promoting cluster development for shared infrastructure, expanding export risk coverage through the Export Credit Guarantee Corporation, and simplifying finance through the Pradhan Mantri Mudra Yojana and expanding the Trade Receivables Discounting System, or TREDS, to smaller MSMEs. Let us lock in the numbers. India has roughly 6.3 crore MSMEs, employing about 11 crore people, contributing around 30% of GDP and 50% of exports. The Udyam Registration Portal, operational since 2020, replaced the earlier Udyog Aadhaar system. The revised classification, effective from 2020, defines a micro enterprise as having investment up to 1 crore rupees and turnover up to 5 crore rupees, a small enterprise as investment up to 10 crore and turnover up to 50 crore, and a medium enterprise as investment up to 50 crore and turnover up to 250 crore rupees. The Mudra scheme provides loans under three tiers: Shishu up to 50,000 rupees, Kishore up to 5 lakh rupees, and Tarun up to 10 lakh rupees. TREDS, regulated by the Reserve Bank of India, offers invoice financing for MSME receivables. The Ministry of Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises is the nodal ministry. For UPSC, the classification thresholds, the Udyam portal, and the Mudra tiers are favorite prelims facts. For mains, you can discuss MSME challenges, technology upgradation, credit access, and export promotion. Now, let us turn to the India-Israel Fisheries Cooperation MOU signed today in New Delhi. The agreement covers joint research in aquaculture technology, exchange of expertise in water-efficient fish farming, and cooperation to develop India's marine fisheries sector. Israel is a world leader in recirculating aquaculture systems and precision irrigation, technologies that can dramatically reduce water usage, a crucial advantage for water-scarce regions of India. India, as you know, ranks second globally in fish production, with an annual output of about 16 million tons, employing roughly 28 million people. The flagship PM Matsya Sampada Yojana, or Prime Minister's Fisheries Scheme, was launched with a budget of 20,050 crore rupees for 2020-05 and is now entering its second phase. The MOU will enable India to tap into Israel's near-zero water recirculating systems for both land-based and freshwater aquaculture, thereby enhancing productivity in arid zones. The nodal ministry for this cooperation is the Ministry of Fisheries, Animal Husbandry and Dairying. For your exams, remember that India is the second largest fish producer at 16 million tons. The PM Matsya Sampada Yojana's outlay is 20,050 crore rupees and the Ministry of Fisheries is the nodal ministry. In mains, you can discuss the blue economy, fisheries sector development, and bilateral cooperation on water-efficient technologies. Finally, let us discuss the blended finance arrangements secured by Piramal Finance. The non-banking financial company obtained approximately $200 million from the International Finance Corporation and the Asian Development Bank. This blended finance, combining concessional development finance with commercial capital, is aimed at expanding affordable housing and small business lending in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. The IFC, the private sector arm of the World Bank Group, and the ADB, headquartered in Manila, Philippines, are both major development financiers, with India being one of the ADB's largest borrowers. Blended finance works by offering below-market rate funding alongside commercial investment, thereby crowding in private capital for sectors that traditional banks often avoid. Piramal Finance, an NBFC under Piramal Enterprises, will channel these funds into housing finance, a priority sector under the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana, which targets 2 crore urban houses, and into SME loans. NBFCs are regulated by the Reserve Bank of India under a scale-based regulation framework. Key points to remember: the IFC is the World Bank Group's private sector arm, the ADB's headquarters are in Manila, and blended finance merges grant or concessional loans with commercial capital. For prelims, these definitions and institutional locations are useful. For mains, you can discuss development finance mechanisms, the role of NBFCs in affordable housing, and how blended finance mobilizes private sector participation. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Green hydrogen is produced by electrolysis using renewable electricity. The National Green Hydrogen Mission, launched on 4th January 2023, aims for 5 million metric tons per annum by 2030 with a budget of 19,744 crore rupees. The AM Green Kakinada project will deliver 1 million metric tons per year with about 5 gigawatts of electrolyzer capacity. Green ammonia, derived from this hydrogen, is a flagship export product. The International Seabed Authority, headquartered in Kingston, Jamaica, derives its legal basis from the 1982 United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, Part 11. India's exploration licenses cover the Central Indian Ocean Basin for polymetallic nodules and the Carlsberg Ridge for sulfides, operated by the National Institute of Ocean Technology under the Ministry of Earth Sciences. The RBIO's 2026 symposium was hosted in Chennai. The 6th ASEAN India Digital Ministers meeting in Hanoi produced the Digital Work Plan 2026, focusing on digital public infrastructure sharing, UPI interoperability, AI governance, and cybersecurity. UPI is already linked internationally with Singapore, the UAE, France, Mauritius, Nepal, Bhutan, and Sri Lanka. ASEAN now has 10 member states, and India has offered $1 million as seed funding for a proposed digital fund. GEM, launched in 2016, mandates central procurement above 25,000 rupees. The Vumania program, started in 2020 with zero registration fee, now boasts 10 lakh women sellers and 35,000 crore rupees in cumulative sales. The nodal ministry is Commerce and Industry, and the Dasta scheme supports artisans. MSMEs number about 6.3 crore, employ 11 crore people, contribute 30% of GDP and 50% of exports. The post-2020 classification sets micro enterprises at investment up to 1 crore and turnover up to 5 crore rupees, small up to 10 crore and 50 crore rupees, and medium up to 50 crore and 250 crore rupees. Udyam is the online registration portal. The Mudra scheme offers Shishu loans up to 50,000 rupees, Kishore up to 5 lakh rupees, and Tarun up to 10 lakh rupees. TREDS provides RBI-regulated invoice financing. In fisheries, India produces 16 million tons of fish annually, employs 28 million people, and runs the PM Matsya Sampada Yojana with a budget of 20,050 crore rupees. The Ministry of Fisheries, Animal Husbandry and Dairying is the nodal ministry. Finally, the IFC, based in Washington, D.C., and the ADB, based in Manila, are providing blended finance of $200 million to Piramal Finance, an NBFC regulated by the RBI, to fund affordable housing under the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana and SME lending. Now, how does all this tie together for your UPSC preparation? Each of these developments illustrates India's strategic thrusts: clean energy, blue economy, digital integration, women's empowerment, MSME competitiveness, and innovative financing, all of which are recurrent themes in both prelims fact-based questions and mains essay or policy analysis papers. By internalizing the numbers, institutions, and policy linkages we have just discussed, you will be well equipped to answer questions that test not only recall but also your ability to connect the dots across sectors and assess their broader impact on India's development trajectory.